دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
روز بخیر شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران و به خصوص شما عزیزان علاقمند به برنامه دنیای ما، جامعه ما، برنامه‌ای که معرف افرادی هست که در جامعه ما موفق هستن، مطرح هستن و شاید بتونن با اطلاعاتی که در اختیار شما عزیزان قرار میدن کمک رسان شما هم باشن. مهمان عزیز امروز برنامه آقای براین کالدرون تباتبایی هستند. ایشون شهردار وست‌کووینا هستند که در حال حاضر کاندیدای مجلس ایالتی یا استیت اسمبلی شدند. ایشون با سابقه 2 دهه تدریس و مربیگری در مدارس و توانایی برقراری نظم در برآورده کردن نیازهای عاطفی اجتماعی دانش آموزان، هم اکنون به عنوان یک مقام منتخب مردم به خدمت ساکنین منطقهشون مشغول هستند و به مسائل و مشکلات بیخانمانها، عدالت نژادی و اقتصادی، حمایت از مستاجرین و حقوق دگرباشان یا LGBTQ میپردازند. از دستاوردهاشون میشه به تغذیه هزاران خانواده در طول همگیری کووید اشاره کرد و از موفقیت‌های اخیرشون باید اشاره کرد به انتصاب ایشون از جانب رئیس استیت اسمبلی انتونی رندون به کمیته تخصیص اعتبار مالیاتی کالیفرنیا تکس کردیت الوکیشن کمیتی، کمیته‌ای که نظارت داره بر مالیات مسکن ایالتی و فدرال افراد کم درآمد. Welcome to today's program, Mr. Brian Calderon Tabatabai.
Thank you. How are you?
Very good. It's good to have you with us today. Your last name is Persian, and I know that you have a Persian background, but we're speaking in English. So would you like to explain that situation for our audience members?
Yes. So, you know, my dad originally immigrated to the United States in the late 1960s to get his education. And so he met my mother, who is Mexican, mm-hmm. and they met in East Los Angeles in 1970, and 3 months later we're married. And so I was born in 1977, and we actually immigrated back to Iran in 78. And so I was going to grow up there, the revolution had begun, and so we migrated back to the United States. Now, at that time in California, the idea of bilingualism and speaking multiple languages was actually frowned upon in a lot of the schools. And so some of my older cousins had suffered some abuse for speaking Spanish, actually, in the elementary schools. And so at that time, my parents, along with my aunts and uncles, made the decision to just teach us English. And so we are, you know, predominantly English-only speakers, myself and most of my cousins. I've learned a lot of Spanish, you know, teaching in the local schools and being around a predominantly Latino population, but because we moved to the San Gabriel Valley, there really was not a large Persian presence, and so Farsi surrounded me at parties, surrounded me when I visited family, but it really wasn't part of my daily life, and so that's why I don't have the language. It is a pain that I still have. It is something that I still have in my future as something that is important for me to eventually learn it. And I want my son to also learn the language. Currently, he's learning the Spanish language through his elementary school that has a dual immersion. Mm-hmm. But Farsi is something that is important. And I definitely will learn it, and we'll make sure that my son learns it as well.
That's a very good idea, and I have a good suggestion for you. Just tune in to Radio Iran, 670 AM, and that's all you have to do. Just listen to a radio. Everybody is speaking Farsi. Perhaps yes. A few programs here and there, they speak English, but mostly is Persian speaking, so it's going to be definitely beneficial to learn Farsi that way.
Yes, I was listening to my introduction and I was picking up some of the language. I was like, I know what she's talking about.
Obviously, I was talking about you and your success and whatever you have done. So I know that you're the mayor of West Covina and you're running for state assembly. My question for you is, once you become elected state assembly or assembly member, should I say, does that limit you to a specific district as well, or it's going to be just for the state and you will be representing basically everybody in California?
No, well, so I will be elected by my district here in the East San Gabriel Valley Assembly District 48. But while I am in the legislature, my votes reflect the entire state. So whichever new legislations come in front of us, they are going to impact the entire state of California. And it's one of the reasons why I felt, you know, there's policy issues, but I also felt as an Iranian American that we have not had any representation in the legislature. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have a large Iranian diaspora here in California, especially Southern California, and we've never had representation. And to be able to be in the legislature and to bring that lens and really for people to see us in those spaces, I felt was, you know, extremely important. And, you know, there's been some, you know, as a city council member here in West Covina, you know, just a few weeks ago, the mayor's husband, during his public comment, you know, spoke about my father, who he's never met, and spoke about him in those old-time xenophobic racist terms, you know, made comments like my dad hated America and things like that. And so, you know, it again reminded me that so many, you know, people here in the state of California don't know us. You know, they have not experienced us. They live off of these old ideas of who we are and who our community is. And so it really, to me, feels like extremely important, extremely urgent, too, considering what's happening globally, that, you know, we are represented in the assembly. And so when I am up there and I will be voted in by Assembly District 48, but every decision I make will have impact on the entire state. And it's why I think, you know, the entire, you know, population really needs to be in tune with not only their representative, but everyone across the state who gets elected, because we will be the ones that pass the laws, pass the budget of the state of California that are going to impact everybody.
Exactly. So before I go any further, I want to explain, because when I introduced you, I did introduce you as the mayor of West Covina. It was in Persian, obviously. And now that you explain what happened with the mayor, I just want to explain in Farsi what's going on. آقای طباطبایی در واقع عضو شورای شهر وست کووینا هستن، کانسل ممبر هستن، که در حال حاضر به صورت پروتم، یعنی شورای شهر ایشون رو به عنوان شهردار موقت انتخاب کرده و خب الان لقب شهردار رو دارن، میر وست کووینا هستن. معرفیشون اشتباه نبود، ولی اینطوری نیست که مردم رفته باشن و رأی داده باشن. الان به خاطر شرایطی که به وجود اومده بوده، خودش شورای شهر، همونطور که عرض کردم، بهش پروتم میگن، ایشون رو انتخاب کردن که به عنوان شهردارم خدمت بکنن، ولی کانسل ممبر هستن. Going back to our conversation, you mentioned that people in District 48 are the ones who are able to vote for you, which is going to actually affect the entire California. I was wondering if you know what is the Persian population in your district?
Well, it's actually less than 1%. So we don't have a huge presence in the East San Gabriel Valley, although interestingly, we did have another Persian candidate for the city council this last run. And so while we don't have a large presence, we do have a presence in the San Gabriel Valley. And, you know, one of the things about where West Covina is located, because we are central to the valley, we are also very close to Orange County. We're very close to Riverside County. We're very close to, you know, the northern part of LA County, where we do have much more of a presence. I've been connecting with another candidate for the state senate, Alex Mohajer, and, you know, both of us are planning to campaign together as well, because we do have, you know, quite a bit of presence, you know, in this region, you know, maybe not specifically to my assembly district, mm-hmm. but, you know, my assembly district touches parts of Orange County, right? We border, and as we enter more of Orange County, we do have a larger presence. And then that's where, you know, having a coalition of folks, especially being so close to each other, bordering each other, and then being in the legislature together, this is where you can have those conversations and make sure you're passing legislation that would be to the benefit of the region, right? Mm-hmm. Much larger than just the assembly district.
Okay. I'm going to translate a little bit of what we talked so far. شنوندگان عزیز آقای براین کالدرون طباطبایی پدرشون ایرانی هستند که در سال 1960 مهاجرت کردند به آمریکا. در اینجا با مادرشون که مکزیکی هستند آشنا شدند. بعد از آشنایی و ازدواج برمیگردن ایران، ولی به خاطر انقلابی که اتفاق میفته باز مهاجرت میکنن، در آمریکا مستقر میشن. بنابراین آقای طباطبایی مدت کوتاهی از زندگی رو هم در ایران گذروندن، ولی اشاره کردن در اون زمان که اینجا مدرسه میرفتن خیلی جالب نبوده اگر کسی زبانی غیر از انگلیسی صحبت میکرده و حتی از طرف مادری بچه های خاله یا دایی که داشتن مسخره می شدن به خاطر صحبت کردن زبان اسپانیش، و بنابراین پدر و مادر بیشتر تمرکز داشتن برای اینکه بچه ها انگلیسی صحبت بکنن، و به همین دلیلشون الان در صورتی که فارسی رو کمی متوجه می شن ولی فقط با افراد ایرانی در حد مهمانی ها معاشرت داشتن و به اون صورت مسلط نیستن به زبان فارسی، و گفتن که مهم هست که ما داشته باشیم در اسمبلی ایالت فردی رو که معرف ایرانی ها باشه، از تبار ایرانی باشه، در ایریایی که میشه بهشون رأی داد، منطقه 48 کالیفرنیا هست، در واقع همون هول و هوش وست کووینا میشه. عده زیادی از ایرانی ها زندگی نمی کنن، ولی خب هر تصمیم وقتی که ایشون وارد اسمبلی بشن، هر تصمیمی که ایشون بگیرن بر روی تمام ایالت تأثیر گذار خواهد بود. بنابراین مهمه که واقعا چه افرادی رو منتخب بکنیم، به انتصاب برسونیم در مقامات دولتی و جایی که بتونن قانون گذار باشن و تصمیم گیرنده باشن. You are a council member. When were you elected to become the council member?
I was elected in November 2020.
2020, very good. So it's actually the last election. And then how come now you're running for assembly? What happened? What do you think you can do differently you want to do as an assembly member versus a council member?
Yeah, so, you know, as I've been on the council, you start to realize that there are quite a few bigger issues that you really can't have any impact from the council seat. So, you know, one of my major issues and passions is education and education policy. So, you know, I am also an ethnic studies teacher at El Monte High School. And, you know, from a city council, you make land use ordinances, you know, talk about street pavings and community safety, but you have no impact on the education of our kids. That's for local school boards. But as an assembly member, now you can start crafting legislation, you can start crafting education policy, budgets for schools, plus all of the other issues when it comes to housing, when it comes to workplace environment, when it comes to things like healthcare, when it comes to the budget, when it comes to, you know, money to public safety and those types of different legislation. And so, again, because I feel there's so much need in the community, and there's areas, especially that I bring a wealth of knowledge. You know, I've over 20 years in the classroom. I created a curriculum for my district. I've been involved in the behavioral and discipline policies and the changing of the frameworks when we look at student discipline and mental health. And so, you know, those are areas that from a city council seat, you don't have impact. And from the assembly, you can have such a greater reach. And, you know, when I originally started thinking about it, you know, I really wasn't, you know, sure was that the next step, was I was ready for the next step. But then I started talking to not only the residents of West Covina, but residents in the surrounding city, you know, residents in Covina, residents in Glendora. These are all Assembly District 48. And, you know, they had, you know, listened to me speak. They'd seen some of the policies that I was presenting at council. They had interacted with me as a teacher. They had interacted with me as a youth football coach, because I also coach high school football. And they wanted me as a representative. They understood that I was somewhat limited on the council, and that there were a lot of policies and ideas that I represented that they wanted to see represented on the assembly and in the legislature. And so, you know, there's never like the right time, the perfect time to run. You know, and so, you know, I spoke with my wife, spoke with my family, and, you know, a lot of issues just feel very urgent, right? And mm-hmm. So there's affordable housing to me is an urgent issue, right? The homeless issue is always top of mind, especially for us in Southern California. Again, a lot of the things that are happening with education, you know, I'm a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. There are things that are happening with the charter school movement that is troubling to me. I've had relatives who lived in communities that were really impacted by the number of charter schools that came into their communities. And, you know, when you lose a community school, you lose like the center of the neighborhood. You lose a space where parents and community workers and children can come together and can create those long lasting human relationships that allow, you know, young students who oftentimes are the first ones to college, it gives them that network of support. And mm-hmm. So I've watched family members who, instead of going through the traditional public school, community school system, have gone to different charter schools. And these charter schools are located in different areas of Los Angeles. And so they lose mm-hmm. that connection to the neighborhood they live in. And so when they went off to college, they didn't have that support.
I see.
And so, yeah.
So basically, if I want to make what you said very short in just few words, I would say you're running because you want to serve more and you want to serve better or maybe more effective. But your goal is just to serve the community and people. And you refer to education. You're an expert in that area. You taught ethnic. You're an ethnic educator. So I have a lot of questions when it comes to education, especially these days, is becoming a concern to parents. But right now we have to go to the commercial breaks. When we come back, I'm going to continue my conversation with Mr. Brian Tabatabai, who is running for state assembly. Please stay with us.
به رادیو ایران گوش میکنید.
KIRN 670 AM.
میلیون دلار دریافت میلیون ها میلیون دلار خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی دستاوردی است از وکیل میلیون دلاری تصادفات پیام شایانی. این است خسارات دریافتی اخیر بزرگترین دفتر وکالت تصادفات در جامعه ایرانی. 13 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 6 میلیون دلار در تصادف کامیون، 5 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 3 میلیون و 200 هزار دلار در تصادف موتورسیکلت، 8 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل و صدها ستلمنت موفق میلیون دلاری دیگر. از اولین انتخاب، بهترین انتخاب، پیام شایانی.
بالاترین افتخار برای من دریافت بیشترین خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی است.
818 777 777 777.
سلام عزیزم.
سلام، چرا انقدر دیر کردی؟
همه چی برای مهمونی ردیفه.
چه خبره؟
رفتم گلندل فروشگاه گوشت سوان، انقدر تمیزه انگار رفتی گل فروشی. کارمندا همه مؤدب و مهربون. این گوشت لخم تازه رو نگاه کن، این گوشت وگوه گراس فد، اینم ریبا استیک، اینم گوشت کوبیده مخلوط گوساله و بره آماده سیخ کشیدن.
ما که منقل نداریم.
منقل و سیخ و باد بزنم از همون سوان گرفتم، فکر کله پاچه صبحم کردم. ایداد دیدی
چی شد؟
دل و جیگر گرفتم، اما دنبلان یادم رفت، الان برمیگردم.
انواع گوشت، مرغ و ماهی تازه حلال در سوان میت مارکت. اینستاگرام و فیسبوک سوان میت مارکت رو فالو کنید با بهترین ریویو ها در یلپ. آدرس 1315 ایست کلورادو در گلندل، روبروی مکدونالد با پارکینگ بزرگ و رایگان. 818-396-4334 818-396-4334. گوشت خوب میخواید؟ سوان is number one.
اکبر جون بپا، طرف قرمز رو رد کرد. اوخ اوخ اوخ، اومد. ای داده بیداد، داغونمون کرد.
آقا فری، شما بشین تو ماشین، من میرم حسابشو برسم.
کجا میری اکبر آقا جون با اون انگلیسی وصل پینه؟ طرف آمریکاییه.
آمریکایی باشه، الان انگلیسی مثل بلبل جوابشو میدم. بشین تماشا کن. ای سر، یدیدی 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 یدیدی.
چی بهش گفتی اکبر آقا؟
چی؟ بهش گفتم تا بیخ مقصری، وکیل دارم عین شیر، مثل کوه پشتمه، تا قرون آخر خسارتمو از تو بیمت میگیره، پوستتونو میکنه.
ولی اکبر جون شما که فقط 20 بار گفتی یدیدی.
اصلش هم همونه، تصادف کردی فقط بگو یدیدی. کامران یدیدی.
دکتر کامران یدیدی، انتخاب اول و برتر در تصادفات. 818-999-99-99.
شب از پنجره به امزل زده، بمون ماه من، پناهم بده پناهم بده، که بارون میاد که پرپر میشم تو دستای با. نترس از منو، برو به نگاه، یک بیت بکش رو تاریکیام، رو تاریکیام، رو تاریکیام. به هم شک نکن اگرچه گمم، پناهم بده گل گندمم. تو این لحظه ای که ما تیم به هم، من از سلخیه تو ناراحتم. بگو چی شده که همراه همی، تو مثل من کمی مفهمی، نکن اگرچه گمم پناهم بده گل گندمم تو این لحظه ای که ما تیم به هم من از سلخیه تو ناراحتم بگو چی شده که همراهمی تو هم مثل من کمی مفهمی پناهم بده.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. There are huge problems today in the city of Brotherly Love, where an elevated section of Interstate 95 has collapsed this morning. That after a tanker truck loaded with a petroleum product caught fire. Authorities in Philadelphia say while extensive delays and street closures are and will continue to be a problem, thankfully, no reports of any injuries. One of the biggest failures of the Biden administration has been the downfall of the U.S. military, which has struggled to overcome recruiting shortfalls. Now is a way to address that problem. Efforts are underway to sign up immigrants. The armed services are offering a fast track to American citizenship for those who do enlist. Army and Air Force have bolstered their marketing to entice legal residents to sign up. This is SRN News.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community. With Debbie Amini.
دوستان عزیز، خوش آمد میگم خدمتتون به قسمت دوم برنامه امروز دنیای ما، جامعه ما. من دبی امینی هستم. فکر میکنم در قسمت اول برنامه هم فراموش کردم که خودم معرفی کنم، ولی امیدوارم که دیگه شما دوستان شنونده میدونید که برنامه دنیای ما، جامعه ما رو معمولا من هستم که دعوت میکنم از مهمانانی که شاید بتونن اطلاعاتی رو در اختیار شما عزیزان بذارن که مفید واقع بشه و فرصتی هم فراهم بکنه برای اینکه شما بتونید افرادی رو که دارن نامزد میشن برای مقام‌های دولتی و قانونگذاری بهتر بشناسید و اگر که زمان رأی‌گیری میرسه با یک خاطر جمعی و با یه شناخت بیشتری بتونید و برید رأی خودتون رو ابلاغ بکنید. مهمان برنامه امروز همونطور که در قسمت اول معرفی کردم آقای براین کالدرون طباطبایی هستند. ایشون از پدر ایرانی هستند همونطور که از اسم خانوادگیشون پیداست و مادرشون از اهالی مکزیک هستند. ترجیحاً انگلیسی صحبت میکنن چون میشه گفت تقریبا تمام عمر رو اینجا بودن، خیلی مدت کوتاهی رو در ایران گذروندن. الان به عنوان عضو شورای شهر کانسول ممبر وست کووینا خدمت میکنن. به صورت پروتم منتخب شدن که شهردار وست کووینا هم باشن و بعد تصمیم دارن که برن، نامزد هستن الان برای استیت اسمبلی که بتونن کار قانونگذاری و خدمت رو بهتر انجام بدن. قبل از اینکه به آگهی ها بریم، ایشون اشاره کردن به اینکه معلم هستن، در مدارس دولتی تدریس میکنن و یک پیشینه خوبی دارن در تحصیلات و به خصوص قسمت های رفتاری دانش آموزان. و من میخوام ازشون الان سوال بکنم که با توجه به اینکه الان این مسئله کتاب‌هایی که در دسترس کودکان قرار میگیره و آموزش‌هایی داره راجع به مسائلی که یه جورایی باید حالت خصوصی تری داشته باشه برای سنین پایین و مشخص میکنه زندگی و روابط دگرباشان رو و به اونها آموزش میده رفتارهای متفاوت رو، دوست دارم ازشون بپرسم که راجع به این مسئله چه فکر میکنن، برای اینکه میدونم وقتی که به عنوان یک قانونگذار بخوان خدمت بکنن میتونن تاثیرگذار باشن در نوع کتابهایی که عرضه میشه به کودکان ما یا تصمیمهایی که پدر و مادرها میتونن در این رابطه در مدارس داشته باشن. مستر طباطبایی، before I ask you the question, I translate it to the audience members what I'm going to ask you. Before we went to the commercial breaks, you talked about being an educator with your experience as an ethnic educator and your experience in behavioral and mental health. And we know that these days there are a lot of talks and a lot of concerns from the parents with the books that our children have access to in public libraries and school libraries. That is about homosexuality and their relationship when it comes to very intimate stuff and sexual stuff. And some people say that it's good because it's going to give the kids the choice of who they want to become. And a lot of people are against it because they feel that at certain age, sex shouldn't be taught to the children. I think it was fifth grade or sixth grade when my children were growing up that they had sex education and it was with the consent of the parents. But it seems that these days there are a lot of books available to the kids. I want to know your idea as an expert because it seems that you have the expertise in both areas, both as an educator, as a teacher, and as a council member right now who is running for the assembly member. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I understand there's a narrative about what is available and accessible to students. And the reality, I started my career as a fourth grade teacher, and in fourth grade is when we started our education on hygiene for boys, right? So at that time, that's when the 10 and 11 year old boys start excreting certain smells because they're entering right that next phase of life, and so we teach them how to use deodorant and we start teaching them about their bodies. And then from there it progresses, right, as they age. And in all of my experience of teaching, from teaching in the elementary school at the beginning of my career, which was in the early 2000s, to now in 2023, it just has not been my experience that the books in classrooms, the books that are available in the curriculum, the books that districts mandate that we use in classrooms, it has never been my experience that any of those, any of that material is at the level of inappropriateness that has been portrayed. Mm-hmm. And so, I think one thing that, I've really been trying to educate people on is that a lot of people are starting from a premise that doesn't actually exist. Now, in terms of, as an ethnic studies teacher, one of the reasons we fought so hard to have ethnic studies as part of our state mandated curriculum was because we did notice in the curriculum that a lot of stories, a lot of narratives were just simply not being told. I kind of shared earlier what occurred at a council meeting where the racist comments about my father and my father hating America, right, came from, and came from, the husband of my colleague. And the reality is, my dad's story is really an American immigrant story, right? My dad came in the 1960s. He worked his way to get his college education. He worked in the Frito-Lay factory. He worked driving a cab, right? He worked extremely hard to get his degree, When he went to Iran and had to come back because of the revolution, well, he restarted again. He re-educated himself, became a computer engineer, right? He raised a family, sending both children to college, my sister to Cal Poly Pomona, myself to UCLA, right? That American dream, that American immigrant story is is my dad's story. It's a story of a lot of Iranians who came before the revolution, who came during the revolution, and those stories aren't being told though, right? And I taught history for a long time, and we do tell immigrant stories. We tell stories of the European immigrants that came. Mm-hmm. We tell those, stories of triumph. And, what we're trying to do is we're trying to acknowledge all of the stories of the students in our classrooms. Mm-hmm. And that also goes to the LGBTQIA community that existed and has existed in our community for, as long as our community has existed. Mm-hmm. And so, these are the families that make up our society, that make up my school community. Mm-hmm. When we learn about our families, when we learn about our ancestors, it's a very empowering experience, mm-hmm. To see your aunts and uncles, to see your ancestors, and to, acknowledge some of the hardships that came with the immigrant experience, to acknowledge some of the xenophobia, to acknowledge some of the racism, mm-hmm. is important, but to also acknowledge that our strength, our perseverance, our resiliency to get to where we're at, right? I mean, I am on a city council in a city that used to have restrictive covenants that would only sell houses to whites only, right?
Wow. And oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is that time period is not that long ago. When I was knocking doors in West Covina, I ran into some of those families. I ran into the first Mexican family to move into West Covina. I spoke to one of the first Black families that could only live on the southern part of West Covina because that area was designated for Black families. And so those are realities, mm-hmm. and a lots of times those realities are ugly, mm-hmm. but there's also the beauty that not only did we fight to become really fully realized citizens, right? To take our full citizenship status, which mm-hmm. again is why I think having a representative in the legislature, right? We need to have representation in all areas. That's why, you as a radio host, it's so important, right, that you're in that space, right? It's so important that we have radio stations that are almost entirely in Farsi, right? Mm-hmm. It's why it's important that when it comes to government, the people that are making the laws can bring that lens, right? Mm-hmm. I can bring what it's like to have migrated and have my family migrate from a country that has been identified as an enemy, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not. We're not. We've been here. We've been here, we've been here since the beginning. And this is our space. This is our country. We're, we are citizens of this country. My dad, like I said, he's an American citizen. I'm an American citizen, mm-hmm. right? And we have this rich culture, and we love to share it with the entire society, just like other cultures share theirs with us. And, I want to get us to a point where we're no longer viewed as a permanent foreigner, right? Mm-hmm. That we are included. And that goes back
when
to...
When nobody again, can say, go back to your country.
exactly, right? This is our country, right? Right. And... that also goes to the LGBTQ community as right. well,
yeah.
right? It's their country as well. It's their society as well. And one thing I've always tried to come from is I've always tried to view the world through the eyes of the person who is most voiceless, right, who has been most erased, and really try to elevate their existence. Because when we can see everybody, then I think we make so many more just decisions that that just make for a better society, a better community.
So now that we're on the subject, I want to ask you, how can our audience members, the audience members of 670 AM, who are majority Persian people, can help you elected in West Covina?
Yes. No, I, you know, I think first they can all visit my website. It is briantabatabai.com. And, you know, there are areas where they can sign up, you know, to donate. You know, I think one of the things when you don't come from the establishment, right, when you don't have ties to the political power that has always existed, one of the things that has always kept us from running, and this is the conversation, too, I've had with Alex, right, is, well, the money, right? You know, how do we run when we don't have that established money? But then you realize we have a community. We have a huge community, you know, and this community does want political representation. And so, you know, how do we get political representation? We fund those who will represent us. And so, you know, people can go onto the website. They can donate to our campaign. And then they can also sign up to be involved in the campaign, right? Involved in terms of coming and walking and knocking doors. Or if not in, in my assembly district, they can just share with the greater Los Angeles community, you know, the greater state of California, and say, look, you know, we have someone who represents our community, who can come from the lens of knowing what it's like to, you know, to immigrate, to grow up in a culture that, that didn't really allow for Farsi to be spoken, but understands why it's important that we continue to speak it, why it's important that we continue to celebrate our culture, why it's important we take up space, right, that we celebrate our traditions, and that they become acknowledged by the state of California that, you know, it's been so, you know, when President Obama, you know, celebrated Nowruz, and, you know, it was like, wow, you know, we're coming, we're being acknowledged. And that's really when I think about how people can support the campaign is to share the campaign, share it with your network, donate to the campaign, and then, you know, when I get elected, then to celebrate it, to celebrate another milestone that we have reached, right? I think we take up spaces in business, in medicine, in science, but a space we haven't quite been able to crack yet is in politics and in political power. But we're there. We're ready.
We're getting there.
And yes.
Hopefully we're getting there. There are actually Persian people, and hopefully you're gonna be. You know, you're a council member right now as well. But hopefully better and higher positions, so you can do more. پس شنوندگان عزیز، اگر که دوست دارید آقای برایان تربتی رو کمک بکنید، همیاری بکنید برای اینکه انتخاب بشن به اسمبلی ممبر، و همونطور که گفتن قوانین رو که ایشون پیشنهاد میکنن، لایحه‌هایی که پیشنهاد میکنن که اگر به تصویب برسه به نفع تمام افرادی هست که توی کالیفرنیا زندگی میکنن، بنابراین حتما مفید خواهد بود. ازتون دعوت میشه که از وبسایت ایشون دیدن بکنید. همونطور که گفتن وبسایتشون هست برایان طباطبایی هست، BRIAN طباطبایی TABATABAI.com. اونجا از وبسایت که دیدن بکنید هم میتونید به کمپین دونیت بکنید، بدون که این روزها بدون پول هیچ کاری نمیشه کرد، به خصوص اینکه بخواین یک کمپین انتخاباتی داشته باشین. اگر هم دوست دارین که کمک بکنید خودتون به انتخابات ایشون، باز روش‌های متفاوتی هست که از طریق وبسایت میتونید آشنا بشید و بهشون کمک بکنید. People who like to get involved in campaign, I believe that besides supporting you, which they would like to do that for sure, and the experience that they get, I think there's some sort of credit, school credit for people who get involved. Is that correct?
Oh, we definitely have a lot of young interns. I know during my city council race, I had quite a few high school students who came, donated their time, and definitely came with letters of recommendation from me, and where they were able to put down all that experience that they had, whether it was helping with the social media campaign, or it was maybe crafting some speeches, or even crafting, you know, policy ideas. You know, those are things that are available that I definitely welcome. You know, again, that's my first passion is teaching and mentoring, especially young people. And so if the community is looking for, you know, I want my son or daughter to get that first experience so that way they can be the next generation of political leaders, and they can, you know, get to understand what are the different aspects of a campaign, right? What does it mean to be a field director or to be a campaign manager or to run the communication? That, yeah, there definitely is a space for that, for those young people to come and join the campaign and to, you know, not only hopefully it's because I'm a candidate they really want to see get elected, but also, yeah, it would be a great benefit for them, you know, as they continue with their high school or college life. And
definitely,
you know,
it's going to be a good experience. If they want to become a city official, it's going to be a great experience. If they want to meet the city officials and get their help in their business or becoming an entrepreneur, I think it's a great situation for, you know, it's great just to be there and help the campaign. Yes. We have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for dedicating your time and being my guest speaker today.
Oh, thank you so much. I always enjoy your show. Continue the great work. And I will hopefully be able to invite you to our election victory.
Definitely do. I'll be happy to be there. And I'm looking forward to celebrating your success when you become the assembly member of the California.
Thank you.
دوستان عزیز، تا برنامه آینده همگی شما رو به خدا میسپارم. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار.